Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 3. How are we doing today, Yanis?
Greatest PKs ever. That's what I witnessed yesterday.
We've had some, like, I don't know, some questionable VAR decisions recently that just involve a lot of penalty stuff, too. I don't know. It's getting pretty out of hand. We'll talk about that later, but yeah, I don't know. That I know you're going to talk about the MLS playoff games. That's going to be pretty crazy. Yeah, so let's start with some news and updates. So this minor news, but Pogba wasn't in the United West Brom lineup or on the bench even. So apparently he's injured a little bit, but no reports came out about that, like, until, like, really after the game started. So everybody was, like, kind of questioning, like, what's happening there. So people were already speculating, like, is it even possible that he can move in January? Like, who knows? Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't even be surprised. Would you be surprised if he moved in January?
Nope.
No, yeah.
Makes total sense to me.
Yeah, where would he go, though, in January? Like, Madrid?
Time will tell. Well, it'll actually happen. I think it'll happen.
You think it'll happen in January? Ooh, I don't think so it'll happen in January. You want to make a bet?
No.
Okay. Other news. They gave out the Golden Boy Award. Were you surprised with the winner?
Nope.
I mean, I think it had to be. So Haaland won. I think it was a pretty wide margin. Second place was Ansu Fati. Third place was Fonzie. I'm surprised Fonzie didn't get second. Because, like, Fati has been, like, he's been good. But Fonzie's been, like, world-class. Like, best left-back in the world type of world-class, you know?
Yeah, I guess maybe it's the attacking flair bias and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like the defenders don't usually win the
Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, exactly. Very rare. So it's one of those things. But I think Haaland deserved it. And then the same day, he scored 4 goals. So 4 goals in, what was it, 32 minutes?
15, I think, no? Or so, well, maybe you...
No. 4 goals in, like, 32, I think.
It was a hat-trick in 50. It was a hat-trick in 15. But then the 4 goal, I can't remember. But yeah, you might be right.
He's insane. He's got, like, Lewandowski-type finishing.
He's also got deceptive speed.
Yeah, and he's, like, he's really coming into his own. Like, the experience he's getting in the Bundesliga, he's going to be a monster. I can see him moving, like, to Madrid. I can see him in the Madrid shirt for some reason. I don't know. Could you picture it?
I could picture it, but we'll give it time. I don't really see him move for the next 2 years, for at least. I think he's there for at least 2 good years.
I hope Dortmund managed to keep him. I think they're only going to keep him if they're, like, challenging for trophies and stuff.
Which they are, technically.
I know, but Dortmund's always been, like, a selling club, right? Like, they develop these players and they sell them.
That's because they always have talent coming up. Like, Moukoko came in today. He's, like, 16.
Yeah.
And that's another talent. Like, watch how he grows up and stuff. It'll be interesting to see as well.
But imagine if they just, like, stopped selling just for, like, a year or two and just tried to, like, get all these players in the same squad at the same time and, like, make a push for that Bayern title, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right on that. It's possible. But then again, we'd have to actually see it to believe it.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. I think he's probably going to be the best striker in the world in the next year or two. But we got some games to go over. We're going to go over the Spurs City game, the United West Brom game, Barca Atletico, and those MLS playoff games. Spurs City, I don't think that was the result anybody was expecting.
I wasn't that surprised, to be honest.
Eric Dier was running that midfield, not going to lie.
And that backcourt.
Yeah, I mean, just how? What happened to City? They couldn't even score 1 goal. Is the Mourinho effect?
It might be the Mourinho effect. I feel like Mourinho had a great tactical plan in terms of letting City try to do their thing in the wider areas, knowing that it was going to be crowded in the midfield and they wouldn't be able to actually create anything or develop anything from the midfield. That's why they're always trying to go wide. I do think that Spurs on the counterattack was something that the City should have expected, but they weren't really able to counter it well. To be honest, Spurs could have also scored 3 if they were a bit more clinical. But, you know,
Son is insane.
Son and Kane are the best duos in the league right now, by far. And yeah, I think Ndombele. Remember when people were saying that Ndombele was finished?
He had that assist.
That assist was good. He had a great game, not only just the assist, but, like, game, he had a great game overall. I feel like...
Yeah, he did. Him and Mourinho got off on the wrong foot a little bit when he came. I don't think Mourinho was very happy with his performances at all, but it seems like he's starting to like get some good games under his belt.
Yeah, but when that happened, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that, like, give the man time. Like, he's adapting to the premises first year. It's not going to be easy. So obviously, you might have things like those happen. But see how what happens in the second year, him playing well consistently and having good performances. Just tells you, like, it takes time to adapt to the Prem.
It does. But not for every player. Like, Bruno will come in and be an instant impact. Or, like...
Yeah, when he scores PKs, it's easy.
Okay, not all his goals are PK, and he's also the player that's created the most chances in the Premier League. So, there's that. But he's come in and he, like, fully changed the whole look of the squad. But not every player will do that. Like, there's players like that will come in, like Di Maria, who like never kind of gets settled and then leave, or Sanchez. Like, well, Sanchez, I mean, switching clubs wasn't easy, but he also like had like when he came to Arsenal, he off the bat was instant impact. Pepe less so. Mkhitaryan, when he came to United, it took him a little while to get adjusted to it. So I think a lot of players coming from overseas, well, overseas from us, but. From the other leagues, the other big leagues, going to the Premier League, I think takes the most adjustment. But once you do, you kind of get rolling because it's a different style of football, right? It's a lot quicker.
One player that I wanted to point out as well, Moussa Sissoko. The man has been hella consistent, or the same. I think he's been one of the most loyal players in Spurs like history or whatnot. Because the man is, I didn't think he was gonna last that long at Spurs. I knew he was gonna have good performances, but. He is still like reliable, and he's good. Like, he's reliable, and he's good, and he's actually performing well and whatnot in different positions. So kudos to him. Like, he might be one of Spurs' most important players this season.
I agree. Yeah, Spurs kind of low key has some depth. You know, like they have players that can come on and make an impact, and they have like players that can like pick up the mantle when somebody's slacking a little bit.
They are a strong contender this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said the opposite last episode. I thought they were going to slow down a little bit. But it doesn't look like they will. And they're in first place right now before the Liverpool-Leicester game. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, they're having a great season. The Mourinho effect, the special one. Do you think Pep is his last season here? Especially if like...
No, he extended his contract.
I know, but do you think he's on the hot seat at any point? Like, what would have to happen?
Not make the Champions League.
You think? Even if he finishes a fourth, do you think that's, acceptable?
Yeah, because he'll make it. But if he doesn't qualify for it...
That's interesting. For City, like, having the squad like that, I think your expectations have to be, like, even higher. But we'll see. Especially because last season didn't go as planned either, right? So two, like, disappointing seasons in a row. Maybe it's just time for a change.
Fair, but this year's a bit different with all this... This exterior, like, I guess, factors that are playing a part in everything. But at the same time, like, even if you take out Guardiola, like, who do you replace him with? Maybe Pochettino, sure. But other than that, like...
It looks like Pochettino's waiting for the United job, it seems like.
Exactly. And that doesn't seem to be coming out soon because Ole keeps winning lucky games like today. I mean, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into that. The United-West Brom game was terrible. We started off like strong. Like, we had some like good chances. Like, Martial had some opportunities like in the box and stuff. We never could like put one away. And then, but we looked like we like just make so many silly mistakes in the back, which is really like questionable, but always happens. And like winning a game, like if I was a West Brom fan, I would have been like extremely frustrated because they had their penalty like overturned by VAR. And then like a couple minutes later, United get the penalty for like a questionable handball. Like, he was 2 yards out, and, like, his hand was a little bit away from his body. Like, if his hand wasn't there, the cross was going in, right? So, I guess you have to call it. But it was still, like, pretty close to his body. And then we missed the penalty shot. And then because of the penalty rule where the keeper, like, stepped off his line, like, right before the player took a shot, they took it again, and then we scored. I would have been extremely, like, I would have been blowing my brains out as a West Brom fan. But the whole game was very just, like... disappointing from a United standpoint. I guess we got 3 points, and that's all that matters, to be honest, at the end of the day. But it's not looking great for our future anyways. Performances like this don't get you very far.
Fair enough.
Now, what about Barca Atletico? Because that's like a juggernaut matchup on paper.
Yeah, but I don't know what Ter Stegen was doing, bro. Did you see the way he came out in the halfway through the... in the halfway line, literally like halfway through the field.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was who ended up finishing it. I can't remember who scored, but basically
it was Carrasco.
Carrasco, exactly. Yeah. Cost him the game. Well,
that was like right before halftime too, like the extra time for halftime. It's really disappointing.
I do think that it must have been in terms of the super keeper thing. Still, it doesn't really excuse that.
Yeah, exactly. That was just very questionable in general.
Overall, Barca wasn't there, bro. They weren't ready. Not that they weren't ready, but they didn't show up at all.
When you look at their lineup, though, they have a lineup that like should be able to get good results. But, I mean, the Atletico lineup just looks better, to be honest.
They keep underperforming. But then again, we got to give credit to Atletico. Like, it's not like they are a bad team as well. They're still one of the top teams in Spain, in Europe.
No, definitely not. But, like, Barca in 11th place right now. But you still have Sociedad in first, which is crazy. But they have played more games.
I feel like Barca in 11th is a sign of things to come after Messi leaves.
But they have one less game played. But a lot of teams above them also have one less game played, so... But yeah, when Messi leaves, it's going to be abysmal. Like, maybe they'll miss out on Champions League and I'll be one of those. But we'll see how that goes. Let's get into these MLS playoff games. So out here, we're both Montreal natives. So that's our main MLS team. But unfortunately, we did not come out with the win.
Let's be honest, it's not that surprising considering the team that we had out there. I feel like the fact that we actually made the playoff for the squad with this squad is pretty good. It actually surprised me. I didn't think we were going to make it. So credit to Chironi for that. Obviously, a heartbreaking way to lose a playoff game like that. You lose at the last second. New England was the best team overall. I think we were able to contain their attacks for a long time, enough time. But eventually, there was one that was going to pass through. That happened. I don't know if New England will make it to the next round. I feel they'll lose to Philly. But for Montreal, I feel like it's a just to make the playoff again. Since like 2016, I think it's good. It's a motivation factor for next year's. We just now have to make sure that can we now? How do we build from this, right? I feel we need a strike. I feel like Montreal needs a striker, a designated striker, because they had nobody this year at all as a striker. I think you could reinforce your midfield because you lost Ty there kind of last minute during the season. Wanyama didn't play because he was not suspended, but he was isolating. But I think you can kind of reinforce your depth. Can you keep Boyan for next season as well? Because he's your playmaker. He's your most important player right now. And maybe even get another center back. I do feel like they were pretty solid with Rod Fanny, who's like 40, but he's basically playing like he's like 22, and Lewis Binks. But maybe you get another defensive piece just to maybe a left back to help. But yeah, overall, I think that's good progress for this team. Unlucky for the finish, but looking forward to see what they have next year.
Do you think Thierry Henry is the man?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he showed he was. He has a character. He's a leader. You'll always see those little, like, before the game clips of him talking to the team and the leadership stuff.
Yeah. Because the Impact get a lot of attention because, like, Thierry Henry is just a football legend, right? So people will, like, tune in to see what he's doing kind of thing. And, like, he didn't really have a great spell at, like, Monaco when he took over there, right? So, like, everybody has kind of, like, this very negative view of his managerial career or style. But, I low-key didn't have really high expectations for him when he took over, like, the Impact. I thought, like, it would be just, like, one of those, like, big names, but really not – doesn't have the quality for it. But I hope he stays and I hope he's successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to stay another season for sure. Hopefully it'll be better and by the end of next season. Like you said, a lot of people had low expectations because of his coaching results in the past.
He took over from Monaco and it was what, like 3 months, and he got sacked because he didn't win a game or something.
Yeah, well, in his defense, like he had like 12 injuries.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, still,
it was kind of tough on him. But I feel like we'll see what happens this year. That, like I said, they have to strengthen the team Like it's the number one, it's the most urgent need right now. Can you strengthen the team? Can you find a striker? I think that's the main thing. Can you find a quality striker who can actually score goals consistently? Because you lacked that the entire season. Honestly, if it wasn't for that, for the COVID Cup, you probably don't make the playoff. Yeah, you can't just rely on like Kyoto or Uruti to score you your goals because they're not consistent. They're good, but they're not consistent.
It's hard to be. You can't do it all on your own. But let's get into this next one. This is the big one, the Orlando versus New York City. I know you're pretty hyped about how this game ended. So give me the rundown.
Okay, I wouldn't say I was hyped, but I was hella confused and like.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You don't see this every day.
It was definitely interesting. So basically, fast forward to like Orlando City. Fast forward to 90 minutes. It's 1-1. They're going in overtime. Nothing happens there. Really, they're now into PKs. It is 4-3 to New York to Orlando. So New York missed their first PK. Then they scored every single one after that. It is now 4-3. So if Orlando saves the next one, they win. Or if they score the next PK, they win as well. So the keeper Galese saves it. It is now people, and you would think it's over, like game's over, you win and whatnot. The coach was already celebrating. He was in the tunnel, running down the tunnel already. He wasn't even there when, yeah. So everybody thinks they won. And then the ref stops it because of VAR, because you can actually check on VAR now if the keeper stepped off the line or not on time.
That's so like, we'll talk about that rule after, but.
Yeah, you can clearly see that he did. Like he stepped off the line early. So. Now he's, but the thing is, they booked him, and apparently he probably had a yellow or something before that because they gave him the ref gave him a red card. So now your keeper.
I've never seen a goalkeeper get a yellow for stepping off his line.
I think I have. I honestly think I have.
I've never, because watching United games, it happens quite often where we end up having to retake the penalties. But never a yellow card. Maybe it's because the ref was like spoke to him beforehand. He was like, listen, like you step in front of the line, I'm giving you a yellow. Like he warned him beforehand. So then when it did happen, he just like straight
hit. Possibly. You could have also given him, a lot of people were saying that he could have just given him a warning and avoided all the drama.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. A warning. That's why I'm extremely confused.
Yeah. But anyway, that didn't happen. So now you're done. Your keeper's out. And Orlando's trying to bring in the second keeper. But in PKs, you can't make any substitutions. Like that's a common rule. You can't make any subs during PKs. So the second keeper actually comes in. I don't know who to sub for him, or they even try to sub anybody. He basically comes in, gets on the line. They're about to kick it, and the ref stops it again because obviously they're talking on the VAR. They're talking with his assistant. And they're obviously trying to clear out and make sure that everything's all right. And they know that, like, the second keeper shouldn't be in net. So they stop him, and they try to bring it. They bring him out. So they bring the second keeper out, telling him that, okay, you can't put a second keeper in because obviously it's the PKs. You can't make a sub during the PKs. You have to put a player in. So they finally bring a player in. I think his name was Schlager. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but he's basically a hero for Orlando right now because, well, he goes in net. Orlando, he doesn't. The first New York takes the PK, they score. Nani has a chance to finish it.
Lewis Nani,
like he can end this. Yeah, he can finish the entire thing and put Orlando through. He misses. It was a good save by Johnson. Don't give me. But he Nani still misses. So now it's 4-4. And Orlando basically thinks that we're screwed. We have a player in net. He can't save shit. Like, sorry about for my language. But, yeah. So, the next PK goes in. The next PK, New York takes it, scores. Orlando takes the next one, score. And then New York takes it again, takes the next PK, and they miss. Schlager saves it. He actually, like, saved it rather comfortably. I think it was a bad PK, but he saved it. And everybody's going crazy. They think they've won the game. It's over and whatnot. And the entire team is running on the pitch, trying to celebrate with his keeper. And they're looking at the ref to make sure like he doesn't call it back, and he says that it's a good save and whatnot. But you obviously have to score again, so they have to score, and then it'll be finished. So Orlando takes the PK. I think it was Benji Michel. He scores, ends the game. Game over. Orlando goes through. But just the drama from all this,
Oh, that's pretty insane.
It was insane, overwhelming. It went from 4-3, and it all took like in the span of like 15, 20 minutes. This entire drama happened, and I wish I was at the stadium just to see like the reaction of the people in there, because I feel like everybody must have been very, very confused. But at the same time, I don't know how like if the ref really made the bad call. I feel like he was just trying to follow the rules that are there, that are put in place for that. So is he in the wrong? I think he sort of is in the wrong, because he could have probably given him a warning. But if the rule says that you have to give him a yellow, you have to give him a yellow.
There's no way that's a rule. There's no way that's a rule. We just watched the United West Brom game, and Bruno had to retake the penalty because Johnson came off his line. No yellow card, no nothing. So if there's a rule, I'm sure that would be people would be giving that, you know?
Yeah, but the question now becomes, is it an MLS-specific rule, or is it like a FIFA rule? Maybe that's the difference.
We would have to look into that. It's definitely not a FIFA rule, because if it was a FIFA rule, then we would be seeing it in the Premier League. But it's not happening in the Premier League.
Yeah, I've seen a guy from MLS. I think his name is Andrew Wiebe. I think he explained it on Twitter. I didn't really look at it yet, but he explained it well. So I'll look it up and see like how it makes more sense. But I would definitely recommend people to like look it up online. I think it's like a 15 minutes video, but it's on. I think MLS has it on their YouTube channel. Basically, goes through the entire thing and what happens. So yeah, that was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Dang, imagine being a player there, like.
But at the end of the day, though, like justice was served. Like Orlando did go through, so we'll see what happened.
Dang, that's a pretty crazy one. But then they're probably gonna get smacked around by Philadelphia. No, they're playing. Yeah, it's true.
No, they're playing. They're playing Columbus, because are they playing Columbus? I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyways, Columbus won against New York as well. I think it's either Columbus or Philly for the win for me.
I think Philly is taking it. They've been the best team the whole year.
Yeah, but you can never sleep on Columbus. I feel like they've been like a dark horse. It's also
what happened to Atlanta this year.
Oh no, they were just bad.
Terrible. Yeah.
The Frank de Boer got sacked and whatnot. It was a madness. But from the West, you also got to think about Portland, because Portland and Seattle are always the contenders. I don't think LAFC wins and makes it, because they have a lot of COVID-related absences, and I feel like it will probably play a part into it. I think they're playing today or tomorrow. I can't remember. But anyways, yeah, that's remained to be seen. So I have Philly, Columbus on the East, possibly, and then I have Portland or Seattle on the West, possibly. One of those four is winning it.
Okay. Good trip. Let's get into our predictions of the week. We have some big matchups coming up. Let's give a quick rundown of these. I'm going to give you the matchup. You give me your score, and you give me a little nugget of why you're choosing that. You ready? And then you're going to do the same for me.
Let's do it. Well, I mean, you could do it together, just so we don't waste so much time.
Okay. All right. Liverpool-Leicester, Premier League matchup.
I have Leicester 2-1. Maybe a Vardy double.
I have Leicester 3-1.
Okay, that's ambitious. I don't know. I don't even know who the Liverpool back four is going to look like. Well, the front, the back two is going to look like.
Exactly. The whole team, what is it going to look like? Who knows?
James Milner center back?
Probably. We got PSG Leipzig.
Champions League. PSG lost against Monaco.
Yeah, 3-2.
I do think that PSG should win it 2-1. Yeah, I'll say 2-1.
I'm taking, I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Okay. You're with the draws again.
Eh? Yeah. I don't know. I think PSG, like, they'll be struggling a little bit. And likely they can surprise you. I know like, they've lost some players, but, like, they can surprise you. Napoli-Milan?
Milan, 3-1. I believe that Milan will get a trophy this year. I don't know if it's the Serie A of the Coppa Italia, but I think they're getting a trophy. Or even Europa League. But they're getting a trophy this year. I highly believe so.
Ooh, okay, that's a pretty big call. I take Milan 2-1. Then we got the Manchester United getting the revenge game against Istanbul, because we are garbage. We did lose. We beat PSG and we beat Leipzig. We beat Leipzig 6-0, and then we lose against Istanbul. So,
all right, I'm gonna say Istanbul wins 2-1. Just for his good sake.
You're joking.
I'm not.
You're joking. All right, United 2-0. There's no way we lose two times against Istanbul. There's no way.
Hey, we will see. We will see. You guys are unreliable right now.
Inter Madrid. That sounds like it could be a team name, Inter Madrid.
Inter Madrid. I wouldn't. No, it doesn't sound that great, honestly. I think I'll say Inter. I said Inter last time and they lost, but I'm gonna say Inter again just because I think they're more informed than Madrid is at the moment. I'd say Inter. Let's say Inter 3-1.
Ooh, there's wow. I'm taking Madrid 2-1. Ooh, no. Hold on, I'm taking Madrid 2-2.
Oh, you're calling a draw again?
By Madrid, I mean it's a draw. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a draw again.
You might be right because you when you call a draw, it usually happens. So you might be onto something.
Hey, I called two draws. We'll see how it goes. I think for those who care, so every week we make these predictions, right? We get 1 point for choosing the correct outcome for like winner, loser, or draw, and we get 2 points if we predict the correct score. And after 2 weeks of doing these predictions, after two episodes, I would say, I'm up 2-1 because we did the international predictions last week and we like messed that up completely.
Thank you, Germany.
Yeah. So we both had Germany winning and they got demolished by France. I had France beating...
No, Spain.
Yeah, sorry. And then I had France beating Portugal, which happened, and you had called the draw. And then we both had England beating Belgium, which also went the other way. So
yeah, shout out England for that.
Yeah, but it was like a weird lineup, though. I don't know. It was interesting. But hopefully this week we both come out. Hopefully I come out a little better. So our last topic of the episode.
Are we good on time?
Yeah, we're good. We got like 3-4 minutes. So the last topic of the of this episode, I wanted to go over what do we think about these. This VAR rules and like the penalty rule about coming off your line, because we've been seeing that. I think it's happened over 50% of the penalties that have been taken. The goalkeeper steps off his line because it's always been a thing, right? Right as the player goes to kick, the goalie just like takes a step forward and chooses a side, right? Which gives him a little bit of a edge because you're closing in on a better angle. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, should first of all. I don't think it deserves a yellow card. Second of all, I don't think it should be a rule that's implemented. But what are your thoughts?
I'm with you with the yellow card. I don't think it should happen. Now, the rule has been there for a while, and we've seen keepers make saves with that rules.
It has, you know, for sure. But it has never been implemented in this way, where it seems like as soon as he's an inch off his line, like they're taking back the penalty.
But the issue is that at the time you didn't have VAR to check it. Now you have VAR to actually check that. So.
But listen, I'm a United fan too. Like this rule like always helps us. Except the first time. The first time it went against us and we ended up losing against it was like a bottom level team. I forget who it was in the beginning of the season. Because they had a penalty that De Gea saved and they took it back because De Gea stepped over his line. But I don't know. This just seems like really too much. I don't know.
You think it gives, I mean, doesn't it give too, I think it gives a bit of the advantage for the striker, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. But even look, like when Bruno, when he takes his penalties, he has his like little run up and then he stutter steps like right before he shoots. So it just like, it fakes out the goalkeeper. So he moves. And then Bruno can, first of all, choose the side that the goalkeeper is not, and also, like, bait the goalkeeper into stepping over his line, which I think is, like, really shitty. Like, if you're going to make the goalkeeper have to stay on his line the whole time, you should probably implement rules to the person taking the shot that you can't, like, stutter step right before or something like that, you know?
Although, he did miss, like, the last two he took that way.
I mean, he always takes it the same way. I think it's a confidence thing, right? Like, you don't want to change it up because you missed. But he said, like, especially Bruno, when he missed his first penalty, he went back and he looked at, like, Rashford and Martial, and they were like, take it again, like, you're going to score this time. And then he does. And then I think the same thing happened this time around, which is, like, good for the team confidence and good for him, like, for having the composure to, like, take a second penalty. Because if you miss a second time in a row, that your confidence is, like, down the floor.
Now, how would you make it more fair for the geek, for a keeper? You would take that rule out?
I would make it maybe so it can be VAR checked. So have a line judge.
But that's not fair because that's not consistent. You have VAR for those each goal instances, so you have to have VAR.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think you should have. I don't know. There has to be a way that makes more lenient. Like to me, like if the goalkeeper is like clearly like way in front of his line, like if it's like really really obvious, then for sure. But if it's like very negligible, like he just takes it like not even a foot forward, I think to me it should stand. Like that should be okay. But it's hard to draw the line at some place and say like this is where it's enough and this is where it's not enough.
I want to hear other keepers, retired keepers, the legends of the game talk about this and see what their opinion is. I want to hear the Oliver Kahns, the Casillas, the Peter Cechs of the world, see what they did, the Van der Sar, see what they think.
Schmeichel.
I also want to think about I want to hear about Howard Webb's opinion on that.
The ref? Yeah.
Isn't he like the ref, the head of the, yeah, isn't he the head of the referees association?
I think so.
So I want to see what he thinks about that because I feel like he'd have a lot to say about it.
I don't think refs will give like unbiased, like will give their actual input. Like they probably have to stay professional and just be like, this is the rules and I agree with it type of thing.
Yeah, but can they say like, okay, this rule could have been, can be bent here and there. Can it get be adjusted here and there?
But rules aren't meant to be bent. Rules are meant to be respected. If you're bending the rules, that means you're breaking them in a little bit.
Rules are meant to be broken. I think that's a real saying.
Yeah, it is. But if you're breaking the rules, then...
Not in this case. Yeah, not in this case.
Yeah, exactly. But that's interesting. Because I think that's going to be really like... It's already being a big point of discussion. This season, because it's already happened multiple times, and I think it's only going to get worse. Like, can you imagine final of the Champions League and a team thinks they won because they saved the penalty and they have to take it back? And then,
I mean, that's literally what happened this week
because of that. I know, but like, imagine on a scale of like
on a bigger scale,
exactly bigger scale, like for the World Cup or something, you know, like it would be insane, right? For something so like stupid like that. I don't know. To me, it doesn't sit well with me. I think the way to balance it out is to put some restrictions on the person taking the penalty kick to have it, like, go both ways. Because, like, if you're baiting the keeper into making a move and then just, like, shooting after, that kind of – it puts the keeper at a huge disadvantage. Huge. But it is what it is. Any last thoughts on that?
We need the goalkeeper union to come out and talk about this as well.
Is there a goalkeeper union? I didn't even know about that.
It's an unwritten rule, but it's like a goalkeeper union. You know how they always talk about goalkeeper union. We need to hear about them as well.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to be it for this week. Any final words?
Nah, really. We're good.
Have a good start of your week. Watch these Champions League matchups. We got some good ones. And we'll see you next week. Peace.